We're on episode 40 of the podcast, Stone Creek Coffee Podcast. We're on location, that's what it's called, right?
Yeah, we're on location at Drew's pad, Drew's house.
Which, all the crying, fussing, or cooing you hear in the background would be my kid. So just pardon that, it's part of the uniqueness of today's episode. We're talking about coffee in food. Not coffee and food, coffee in food. Which will be fun. Christian did cooking, and so I'm going to watch and smell and eat. Before we get to that, though, our tasting today, well, we're going to start off our Sunday libations with a little whiskey from a distillery in Madison called Old Sugar. This is their Queen Jenny sorghum whiskey, which this is the first sorghum whiskey I ever had.
What's the story behind Queen Jenny?
Jenny.
Bummer.
When the 18th Amendment passed and the U.S. dried up, a few people kept Madison well supplied. Though no one
like
equal.
Al Capone?
Yeah, right, actually. Though no one equal to the acclaimed Queen of Bootleggers, celebrating her spirit of ingenuity and audacity, we bring you the original Wisconsin sorghum whiskey. Raise your glass, tip your hat, and toast to the Queen. I love how the liquor industry celebrates its lawlessness. Prohibition was kind of a dumb time anyway, though.
It's kind of a weird anti-law.
Anti-anti-law.
It's like, we don't like alcohol anymore, so now it's illegal. Okay, now it's legal again. Right. It was a strange time.
Yep. It's like moral nihilism.
Yeah,
cheers. It really is unlike any whiskey that I've had, and I've had a lot of whiskey. Whiskies. That sounded wrong.
Yeah, believe it or not, I've had another sorghum whiskey recently, and it reminds
really?
Me a lot of that. It's odd. I mean,
well,
it's a different flavor than you'd expect.
Yeah.
It almost looks cloudy.
It is cloudy,
which is interesting.
I don't know how they filtered it. Most of the time when whiskey comes out of the barrel, it's filtered before it's bottled. I don't know that this was.
It kind of has like an Irish whiskey type flavor to me.
Mm-hmm.
A little spicy, little woody.
Yeah, it's not nearly so mashy as a bourbon. It has some reminiscent of like a young scotch, but then it's got a lot of like graham cracker. It's really sweet and desserty. It's not oppressive. Super smooth. Honey.
It's got a little bit of heat to it too. A little zip to that.
40.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah, it is cool. They're actually... I'll be in Madison a lot as we ramp up to our new cafe. And they're releasing a bunch of whiskeys that they did in conjunction with breweries around Madison. So they're taking the beers and then distilling them. Or they're taking products from breweries and distilling them and then aging them. Which all whiskey is really is distilled beer and then aged. So I can't wait to taste some of their stuff. All right, cool. That's round one today, at least. Waiting for the Packers to come on. Right now it's just the Vikings and Lions. Whatever.
If you hear me cursing in the background, that's me checking my fantasy team. I'm an avid fantasy footballer. And we have a league at Stone Creek, and I'm not doing well this year, so...
Bummer.
It's total bummer. So we're talking food and coffee.
Yeah.
Food in or coffee in food. So in preparation for today, we're going to be cooking some food and we're going to do a little experiment to see if the quality of coffee actually matters and affects the way that food tastes. So we grabbed our blue can from the grocery store I did this morning. Feels a little weird because I was wearing a Stone Creek shirt and I'm shopping up and down the coffee aisle. And I was just looking for something kind of middle of the road, so I grabbed a Maxwell House 100% Colombian. It's a certified Colombian. There's a whole bunch of information on here. It's on one side. Maybe they don't have that. That's interesting. All the other Colombians actually had like the Made in Colombia Juan Valdez little seal on it.
Really?
And I've been watching some internet TV shows, and there's actually been like Juan Valdez commercials, Colombian coffee commercials.
Really?
And there. I brewed some of this morning just to taste it. It's coffee.
You know what? We're going to actually... I'm going to pause because we have to taste this. Yeah. We're going to cook with it. We should taste it first.
For sure.
Okay, now we have our coffee. So this is straight out of the can. Brewed in a Clever. I don't know if you need that much.
It's caffeine.
The smell hit me, and I was like, ah, it smells interesting. Kind of smoky, like smoked meat. Barbecue a little bit. It smells better before it's brewed. But then after it was brewed, I'm like, oh, that reminds me of something. Which was Cafe Brit coffee out of Costa Rica.
Exactly. Which is where my brain was going to.
Pretty rough. So anytime we go to Costa Rica, this is what they have at the hotel. So we're trying desperately to caffeinate before going to visit farms. And Christian finally got wise and took an AeroPress and good coffee with him on his last trip. Which I think is...
best decision in the world. Yeah, it really was.
Think that's going to be the future of Stone Creek origin travel. So some very subtle acidity and then a very pronounced astringency.
Astringency, you get that kind of smoky, meaty. It's a meaty smoky flavor. It's not like a dark roast smoky flavor. And there's like a...
maybe a possum got into the batch before it was roasted.
There's a spice in here. It could just be mixing with that whiskey residue in my mouth.
Could be.
And there's like a paperiness to this too.
Mm-hmm. I did pre-rinse the filter, so that would be the coffee.
Yeah, it's not the filter. Man, I wonder what this would taste like normally brewed, quote unquote, normally, as in
according to their ratios.
Yeah. So 1 tablespoon per 6 fluid.
Is that what that says? Yes.
Best before day, 1 serving of water is 6 fluid ounces, 3/4 cup makes 80 to 90 strength servings. 80 to 90 servings.
In this?
In this.
Wow.
And we're using probably at least 2 tablespoons for 6 ounces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I use 36 grams for 680 grams of water. So I brewed it strong because it was old. I did updose. All right, so what do we need to talk about now?
So we should talk about first, leading up into this. So we have 2 pork loins that we're going to be roasting. Mm-hmm. I'll go through the recipe a little bit later, but what I want to talk about is why would you want to use coffee in cooking in your food? Because a lot of people...
marketing!
Not just marketing, there's science behind it.
Well, that's always our answer.
Yeah, yeah. But I actually did some research and did a lot of... putting a lot of thought into this. So a lot of people don't like coffee. Let's just put it out there. And they hear coffee and things. It's getting kind of weird. There's someone once I made a rub for that I put coffee in it. They're like, well, I don't really like coffee. I'm like, just trust me. This will work. This will work out really well. And so what we need to think about is what happens during the roasting process. So during coffee roasting, and what episode was that we recorded a while back? We talked about the roasting process.
I think we did that when we released our roasting case study, which was our first episode, actually.
Nice.
So 40 episodes ago.
Nice. So there are lots of different chemical reactions going on in the roaster. There's drying and changing water molecules in there. But the two main things you're looking at are Maillard reactions and sugar browning reactions. So Maillard reactions are non-enzymatic changes between amino acids and sugars to create new flavor compounds. And this happens about 300 degrees in the roaster and goes all the way through the end of the roast along with some other Stucker degradation reactions. We don't need to talk about those. But what it really does is it takes a bunch of flavor compounds, stacks them together, and layers them together to create more interesting flavor compounds. And the other thing you have going on there after 320 degrees Fahrenheit is caramelization. That's the changing of sugar from simple sugars into different sugars that are different, sweeter. It's just, think about like making caramel on the oven or on the stovetop. You have granulated sugar and water, eventually starts to turn light brown, darker brown, candied sugar, crispy sugar, carbon. Mm-hmm. So those kind of reactions. So when you're cooking things, especially on the stovetop, or if you're grilling meats, you are looking for browning, and browning is Maillard reactions. So what we're really doing by using coffee in food, on food, is we're taking all these reactionary compounds, aromatic compounds that we already created, we're putting into an environment where they can have a whole bunch more things to react with and to, and we're really bolstering that kind of mired, meaty flavor, which is really cool. So that coffee actually just adds and stacks and gives it lots of really good flavor.
So before we jump into this, I have several reservations, and I have never cooked with coffee, ground coffee, before. So my reservations are as follows. One would be, doesn't that coffee kind of brew in the process? Because you're adding, you know, you're putting, in this case, you know, we've rubbed pork, or Christian rubbed pork with ground coffee, which basically starts the extraction process, which if you over-extract coffee, you end up with a lot of flavor compounds that's not yummy. Now, I think it works in this case for several reasons, but I'll let Christian get into that. Then the other one would be, you know, coffee is not normally something you chew up and swallow. It's really hard, actually, to chew it up. It doesn't digest super easy. You know, it really is a product for brewing, so why would you want to ingest it? And how does that become good eats?
So you've never had a chocolate-covered espresso bean then, have you?
Oh, you know what, I have. I haven't cooked with it, but...
Yeah.
But I also know that that gets stuck in my teeth.
Yeah, it does get stuck in your teeth. So the way that I'm counteracting some of those problems... First, the size of the grind, we're super fine. As fine as I could get it on my home grinder. So we're talking like espresso powder. You're not going to notice it. It's about as fine as the paprika and the pepper that I put in there. So that should be kind
Which also are hard to chew. Like, you don't really chew pepper. If you ever tried to chew a peppercorn, it's like trying to chew a coffee bean.
Yeah. And we're talking about using this as a rub, too. So it's just going to be on the outside of the meat. It's going to be on the outside of the vegetables if you wanted to do it there. It's not like we're putting this into chili, but I have heard of putting coffee in chili before. It's a thing that you can do, and putting beer, like a coffee beer in a chili, is a thing, too. To counteract that over-extraction, we're not brewing the coffee. It's simply an ingredient. We're not filtering water on top of it. If we were putting that in, like, a soup, like some coffee grounds in the soup, I can totally see that over-extraction happening. But we're so high on the concentration of coffee on the outside, so little water is going to be going in and out of that meat. It's just going to be delicious. And it's really good.
And right now, as the rub sits on the meat, meat's pretty cold. So, you know, if you have cooler temperatures, that's really going to slow down the brew process. So even if it was technically brewing currently, that cold temperature is going to keep it pretty stable until we throw it in the oven.
One other little sciencey tip for cooking. Whenever you put a rub on something, it doesn't really get that far into the meat, so don't sit and like let it linger for 2 days, 3 days. You have to brine or marinate to get that to happen, to actually have osmosis of stuff. Just a little minor cooking thing that I've learned along the way. If you're putting a rub on something, you can cook it pretty quickly. I did this about 2 hours ago. So what we have here are two pork loins, and one has the Maxwell House Columbia on it. It is labeled, and then we also have, one that has our organic Columbia Simplicity, so which is a really awesome, really floral kind of chocolatey, fruity coffee that we have in our line right now. And what we want to see is that there's actually a flavor difference between high quality coffee and low quality coffee. So two Columbias, one bad, one good. Let's say it that way. There's one that's bad and one that's good. We're going to see if that actually transfers into the meat at all, if we can taste a difference. Maybe we won't, maybe we will.
Have you tested this yet?
No, I haven't.
So, all right, you're going to hear it here. We're going to learn it here first.
Got to learn if we could do some geisha rubbed meats in the future.
That'd be interesting.
If it works.
And that would have to be really good to use geisha that way.
Mm-hmm.
Recipe? What's a recipe?
All right, so... pork loins were on sale, so I just have two pork tenderloins. These are about between a pound and a half. And I just made a simple rub from stuff I had around my kitchen. So this is 2 tablespoons of finely ground coffee, so like espresso fine. 1 tablespoon of paprika, 1/2 teaspoon of ground pepper, 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, and 1 tablespoon of kosher salt. Use kosher salt because they're bigger crystals and they don't oversalt things. If you ever invite me over to eat at your place, don't use granulated salt. It'll be too salty for me. I'm super sensitive to the salt. Need the kosher.
Yeah, well, we have kosher salt here. You can thank Alton Brown for converting us to the wonders of kosher.
By the way, Good Eats is coming back.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Found
good
that
news.
Out a couple days ago.
They need to put more of it on Netflix. If you haven't watched Good Eats, we're going to put a plug in. Alton, if you ever listen to this, you know, we love you. So how are we going to cook these?
So we're just going to cook them in the oven. We're just going to bake them at, let's do 375.
Okay.
And we're going to go until the meat is like 140, 145. A little pink on the inside. That's how I like my pork.
Did you bring a meat thermometer?
I did bring my fancy meat thermometer.
I have a non-fancy meat thermometer.
My Insta-read.
Nice. I need to get one. Thermopen.
Yeah. It's a Christmas present. It's a $100 Christmas present.
Oh, gosh.
But it's worth it.
Yeah.
Because the probe is literally like right on the tip.
Yeah, that's great. Cool. All
right.
So, oven's preheating. I think I'm going to pop a beer.
Dig it.
Mm-hmm. Man, that looks good. You happy with the rack placement?
It's fine.
Meat going in. So I had a question.
Yeah.
So we rubbed this, and you had mentioned, like, you don't need to let it sit that long with a rub as you do if you're brining or marinating something. So my question is, why didn't we do, like, a brewed coffee marinade?
So I wanted to do a rub. Now, that is another thing we probably could have done, and just didn't think about it. I've never thought about using coffee in a brine. But now I want to try it.
Yeah, right. So, there are many adventures to be had with coffee.
That's super clever. I've never, ever considered it. I dig it. You can even get, like, coffee flavor in chicken, like, in a good way.
Right. Now we gotta try it. But I think espresso in particular, like, the strength of that, diluted a little bit, but it almost matches the consistency of a soy sauce or a teriyaki. And I absolutely love teriyaki. Like, I love Asian marinades. So to spice up some coffee, sweeten it up with some sugar. Like, I think actually the taste profile would be pretty similar if you spice up the coffee to a teriyaki or a soy sauce, and would make a pretty solid base for a white meat marinade. Fish, maybe.
Espresso and five spice. That'd be an awesome combo.
What's five spice?
Five spice? Chinese five spice has star anise, black pepper, ginger. I don't remember the other two. I have some at home. It's delicious.
We're going to look it up. Chinese five spice. Now we're just brainstorming while we wait. I'm hungry. I didn't eat lunch.
I had a late breakfast of cinnamon rolls.
Mm-hmm.
I also made my first omelet this morning.
You've never made
it. I've never made an omelet before. So, we're just going to go into cooking stuff. So, I watch a lot of cooking competition shows, and they always make this, like, benchmark of being able to make an omelet. And so many people on these cooking shows fail. They fail miserably. It's just, like, eggs, a little bit of milk, and a little thyme, making sure you don't overheat your pan. It was so easy.
Yeah, it depends on what kind of pan. Did you use nonstick or
stainless?
Yeah,
of course. We use nonstick for omelets.
Yeah, I mean, you almost have to. But, like, we got rid of our nonstick stuff because of the dangers of Teflon in things. Yeah, which are well documented.
If you go over 500 degrees Fahrenheit, it can break away into the air. It's no good.
And then you get sick. So the meat's resting. Looks good.
Look tasty.
Like a Yule log. They smell different.
They do.
Yep. That's so good. The coffee uniqueness between the two lumps of meat has impacted smell. Which one was the...
This one is Simplicity. The one with the foil next to it is Simplicity. So the one on the left is the Simplicity.
That's really interesting. So... Coffee, when it's brewed, particularly coffee that's low quality, can have a bit of a funk to it. And the two loins, the one that has been made with the low-grade coffee, has a very distinct pungent aromatic, whereas the other one is much sweeter and not nearly so... how would you describe that aroma?
Definitely more layered. Like, there's more aromatic going on.
In the good one?
In the good one. Whereas the one on the right is pretty flat. Like, I smell the sweet, I smell the spice that I put on top of it, that there's no meshing of volatiles.
Right. It smells like a used coffee filter. to me. Just to be blunt. So while we wait for these to rest, a couple other things. If you wanted to put like coffee in a dessert, or you're like, hey, how do coffee and dessert mash up? Like, there's some important things I think to keep in mind, because there's some phenomenal coffee desserts. Tiramisu, a good tiramisu.
Most chocolate tarts call for coffee of some sort to be layered inside of it, which is cool.
And you can use pretty much ground coffee or brewed coffee. You know, you can use brewed coffee in a pudding, like as the liquid additive to a pudding. Add a little espresso to a milk-based pudding. That's pretty phenomenal. But where you can get into trouble, I think, is by deciding what coffee to drink with your dessert. Because coffee is a sort of a accent to a dessert. You're pretty flexible. Like, it's going to influence your dessert somewhat. But when you're pairing a coffee with a dessert, that side-by-side dynamic is going to be really important to not screw up. And doing a lot of taste tests, or a few taste tests, with a podcast, I think we've learned a few things about what you should or should not drink with your food. Particularly when it comes to dairy-heavy products. And this was probably no more evident than when we did the Bulletproof two weeks ago.
For sure, for sure. Yeah, when we used that light roasted coffee in that Bulletproof, so we had fat, we had dairy, we had oil. It was gross. It was hard to drink. It was acidity layered on top of more acidity layered on top of grossness. It's pretty much what it was. It was no good. And the same thing will happen. Like, there's already sweetness in a light roast coffee, which is cool. There's acidity in a light roast coffee, but there is not that spiciness. That thing that needs to cut through that actually contrasts the sweet in the dairy, mm-hmm. sweet in the kind of creaminess. So whenever anyone tries to pair like a light roasted coffee with something like that, it just, in my opinion, it doesn't work.
Right, and I've noticed this a lot actually in the mornings. It's the mornings that I have a sweet pastry from our pastry selection with my light roast coffee. The coffee's never as good as I want it to be until I'm done with the pastry and I've washed out all semblance of sweet from my mouth. That's where the coffee can shine on its own. Otherwise, I'm kind of wasting the nuance of the coffee because it can't keep up with the heavy sweetness of a dessert or a pastry. So go dark. Like, don't hesitate to embrace the medium or dark because it will provide a nice contrast and a really nostalgic, like, homey, comforting cap to your dessert.
Something to think about with the holidays coming up, too. We have pies at home.
Mm-hmm.
That pumpkin pie will not stand up to a light roast coffee. Don't do it. If you have apple pie, you can maybe get away with it. Mm-hmm. The fruity flavors, they work.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for sure. Like, you need something.
Yeah, it's if you're running a tart apple pie. So people will build their pies differently. If it's more tart, less sweet, that you'll probably get away with the apple. Pretty solid. And you can go back and listen to our episode on coffee pairings, where we walked through like general flavors, bitterness, sweetness, acidity, and what kind of coffee you'd want to pair it with. In the holidays, you're often toasting a lot of things. There's a lot of meat. What else is there that's toasting? Marshmallows. And in those cases, when you have really toasty things, you get a lot of bitterness from the taking what Christian referred to earlier, the Maillard reactions to the nth degree and introducing carbon, which introduces bitterness. And actually, in that case, your more acidic coffee can actually contrast pretty well with that. But when you're running the more delicate line of flavor, light roast is no good. Should go dark. Just think about contrasting whatever you're eating. And then you'll probably appreciate that coffee for what it is.
Unless it's bad coffee. Then you won't appreciate it.
Yeah.
Just drink good coffee.
Good rule of thumb. How long do we have to let this rest for?
It's been about 5 minutes or so.
Okay.
Good. You can slice it up.
And for those of you who don't know, you let a piece of meat rest, because if you cut into it before it kind of cools down a little bit, all those juices are pretty loose and just run all over the place instead of staying up in the meat where you want them.
Do you know why?
No.
Technically speaking?
Do you know why?
Yeah, because the myoglobin has not relaxed in the meat. Thank you, Jacques Pepin. The myoglobin.
Cool. So keep your myoglobins where they're supposed to be. And we're going to eat this.
All right.
All right. We've come to it at last.
So should we do... What? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, which one's better? Or can you tell a difference between the quality and the non-quality? What are you tasting?
I'm tasting the Maxwell House first.
So the Maxwell House rubbed pork loin.
Yeah, lots of sweetness from this one. Like, I tasted paprika. I don't taste the coffee.
I taste the coffee in a very negative way. Like, I taste old coffee grounds. That's what I taste. Like, we've all tasted coffee grounds, either in the bottom of our cup or because we were 8 years old and, hey, why not taste some coffee grounds? Mm-hmm. And I get a lot of that in the Maxwell House one.
That's way better.
It's way better.
There's dynamicness to it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you taste a little bit of like the sweet and the salt, and then it goes in like this coffee awesomeness.
Yeah.
I just can't.
There's none of the staleness. And the coffee doesn't taste old and brewed in the Columbia Simplicity one.
Huh. I had no idea.
I was
skeptical. I didn't think that it would make a difference.
It was a really dramatic difference. Well, that's good to know.
Hmm.
It was delicious, too. Even the bad one is really good. But the new one is so much better.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So we're going to eat more of this. Crackers are going to come on in a minute. Anything else we need to say about this?
No, just we learned today that when you're cooking with coffee, it does make a difference. So go support your local roaster. Or if you want to buy some from us at stonecreekcoffee.com, we gladly support you in your cooking endeavors. But it really does make a difference. And I wish we had made some dessert because I'm curious as to what that'll do. So maybe we'll save that for another episode.
Yep. We'll coffee desserts, or we'll marinate some chicken.
Yeah.
Do coffee marinade.
Brining. Coffee brining.
Many episodes to come on this, I feel like. Send us ideas for shows, because we'll take them. Podcast at stonecreekcoffee.com. Go to iTunes, leave us a review. You can get coffee and stuff, cool things, through stonecreekcoffee.com. We're here for you. All right, we'll see you in 2 weeks. Cool. Till then, we're geeks.
And we are talking coffee.
Today we're eating coffee.